on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria. Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially with people who are here to finish Nigeria. They still be among Nigeria than you are.
We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don't so quickly.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofun.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the port.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
You're still listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Why does GRV want to be governor of Lagos State? It's a question he's about to answer for us as soon as he joins us. He says he's stuck in traffic at the moment, so he'll be joining us as soon as he can. But before he joins us and before we get into that, here's today's big hard fact. It's exactly 326 days until the general elections on February 25th, 2023. So 326 days from now, Lagos will pick her next governor and assembly members and will also join the rest of Nigeria to choose the next president and National Assembly. But today, we're going to focus on Lagos. The guest I will have wants to govern Lagos. He has declared his intention to go for the PDP gubernatorial ticket. When he joins us on the show, he'll be answering lots of questions from me, from you, Lagos, who he wants to govern, about why he wants to do this, what exactly he wants to do. Now, of course, Lagos, you are the one to choose your next governor, so I need you to be a big part of this conversation. What are the issues you think the governor should tackle? What questions do you have for my guest who wants to occupy Alausa on May 29th, 2023? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. You can share your thoughts with us via Facebook. Remember, WhatsApp and I, our relationship is like this, like that. So please, if you want to reach me via text, send that message to me on Facebook. We're streaming live. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. What questions do you have for our guests? What are the issues you think the governor should tackle? What are the issues that you think are most important to you as a Lagosian living in Lagos? Mr. Gbadebo Rhodes Viva just walked into the studio. Good evening to you. Good to have you here.
Good evening.
Sorry about the traffic.
No, it's okay.
Okay, that's one of the things you should fix if you become governor.
Yes, definitely. Number one thing, actually.
But I mean, let's start with that. Why do you want to be governor of Lagos State?
I believe that Lagos can be better run. I believe that in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of inefficiency, lot of just anyhowness, you know, governance without empathy, governance without putting people first, just pushing policies that help the interest of the few and not the majority, you know, and that stifles development, that stifles growth. And I believe that Lagos can be so much more. You know, people like to say that they like Lagos, but there's always a but after, but traffic, but this, but that, you know, and Lagos remains one of the worst, most habitable cities. Right, globally. I mean, it's just under Iran or a war-torn country. In fact, they actually pinpointed a place in Mushin that's supposed to be the worst place to live on Earth, right? In terms of standards of living, quality of life. You know, the problem with Nigerians is we tend to be very docile and just accept and just get along with things. Like Falao say, people are always suffering and smiling, right? So we have normalized the idea that we sit down in 5 hours of traffic. And we've normalized the idea you have to be up at 4, 5 a.m. You don't see your kids and you come back late. Your kids have gone to bed because of traffic. And uneven development in the entire state. So these are things that need to be tackled. But most importantly, I believe that Lagos needs to be governed by a set of people that put the people first.
Hmm. Why do you think you're qualified to be governor of Lagos State? I mean, tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us your track records. Tell us your achievements.
Well, achievements, let's start with education. I was schooled at MIT. I'm an architect by profession. I have interest in construction and commodity trading. I've been in politics for some time now. I ran for local government chairman. I ran for Senate. And at 35, I ran for Senate, and in my party had the highest amount of votes in 2019 elections. But aside from that, I've been involved in significant, like, voter education, trying to get people to be involved in politics, to understand politics, to understand governance. I also have, when I decided to go into politics, I got a master's in research and public policy. So I'm a policy expert as well. So that's aside from the architecture. So I have two masters and one bachelor's. And I'm passionate about Lagos. I'm a Lagosian. I'm an Indian of Lagos. And I feel that you need people that love Lagos to be at the helm of affairs. And, you know, governance, you can only go through it. You can only get to it through politics, right? And I'm a passionate politician. And I feel that from when I started to champion GMOs, when I went on that campaign against GMOs, genetic modified foods, in Nigeria, and I led the 2000-man march in the Senate and experienced what the quality of politicians were in our assembly and their lack of empathy, I felt that you need a lot more people that will put the people's interests first. You know, I attend a lot of public hearings and try to make sure that the interests of the people are put first in policies that I'm passionate about, especially things that I feel will push the country in the left direction.
Now let me address the elephant in the room.
Yes.
In 1999 and 2003, AD won Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, AC won Lagos. In 2011, it was ACN.
Mm-hmm.
2015, 2019, its successor APC won Lagos. So not only has your party, the PDP, never won Lagos, but only the same party through different incarnations has won every election here in the Fourth Republic.
Yeah.
Why should Lagosians believe that your party, the PDP, can break that perfect record this time around?
I always feel funny when people forget to mention that Funchal Williams was murdered. I think we should always have that as a side note, that one of the most loved politicians in Lagos was murdered in cold blood. High-performing politicians, beloved of Lagos. And this is someone that was going to run on our party. Also, Atiku came out to apologize for what he did not do in 2007, I believe 2007, when PDP took the entire Southwest, right? And he said he had to do that because of his alliance with Tinubu at the time, even though he was the vice president. So these are two things that have sort of skewed this narrative that you've talked about. But aside from that, you know, every 20 years, there's a power dynamic change. Right, every 20 years, a new generation comes that's fed up with the way things have been done. And that's what happened to PDP in 2015. I mean, you have people that were not interested in the history of Buhari when he came the first time. They just wanted change, right? And that tends to happen every 20 years. And we've gotten to a point now in Lagos where people are fed up. People are tired. I mean, this party came in with a lot of goodwill from the people. They expected a lot, and it's just been complete opposite. In fact, things they were complaining about then, it seems like the PDP government was, you know, this excellent government at this point, because you have people paying for diesel at ridiculous prices. You have, with all this suffering, their great idea is to re-toll the toll gates, despite the whole NSAR situation, despite not really meeting any of the demands that happened, despite justice not being met. And their idea is to bring back the tolls, you know? So there's been, I feel that finally the people are starting to see that you cannot Niger-proof yourself. You cannot, your government will find you, and you cannot innovate your way out of bad policy. So I believe that this time people are going to want to see something different. They're going to want a government that, you know, puts people first.
But if people have been dissatisfied for a long time, you know, it means that there was an opportunity for your party to make significant headway in Lagos before now. You mentioned Atiku. Atiku was 2007. What happened in 2011? What happened in 2015? What happened in 2019?
I think that ultimately everything comes down to also the candidate's ability to galvanize the party. The candidate's ability to work before you get into election season, which we've been doing tirelessly. In fact, the number of people that are going to possibly be contesting have been working outside election season this time. So the PDP is going to do everything it can to unite itself and push up a strong front and be ready to protect the mandate of the people. I also feel that it's important to note there are many, you see, winning an election is not just about the party or the people. There are also events that come around it.
Hmm.
There are things that create a perfect storm, right? And that's what happened in 2015 in the PDP, you know? And I see the makings of that happening in 2023. You know, you have people that are coming together saying that, you know, we've had enough. You have young people that have never really taken politics seriously standing up to say we've had enough, not just by picking your voters' card, but also funding politicians. You have a huge new crop of young millionaires that are looking and seeing how this government banned Bitcoin, banned Twitter, literally brought bad governance to their doorstep. And they want to have a say in what's going to happen in 2023. So I think it's going to be very different this time.
Okay, Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. What questions do you have for Rhodes Viva, who wants to occupy Alausa on May 29th, 2023? Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We're streaming live on Facebook. You can watch this live on Facebook, watch this live on YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Road to 2023 on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Turn off your radio. What's your name, sir?
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Yomi. I have a question from Survivor.
Yes.
Now, specifically, I want to ask him, if today the PDP is in power in Lagos State, how would his party have treated the Lekki toll gate issue? Specifically. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Yomi, for calling, Mr. Road Survivor.
I think that all the leaders in our party have been vocal about what they believe should happen there. A memorial should be built, right? And just leave it like that, because too much bloodshed has happened around that whole, in that whole situation. But even more so, let us even say that it was important to meet financial obligations for that place, even though it's been said that the entire road has already been paid for by Lagos State. Let's say you had to do that. How about, you know, look at 20-30% of the funds that come from there be used to monitor police brutality, be used for training the police, right? Be used for to create a helpline that ensures to be used to create a helpline that ensures that if police brutality happens in the state, it will be dealt with. You know, in doing this, you're showing that you have empathy for the complaints of people. You're not just to come back and say the toll gates should be opened again. The PDP will not have done that.
Okay, let's talk to more people in Lagos. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My name is Juliet from Ajam. You said you had 2 master's qualifications.
Yes.
So my question is, did you acquire those qualifications in Nigeria or outside Nigeria? Because if it's in Nigeria, it's a credit to you. Not when you go abroad, do your own education and your family there. You will now come to Nigeria to rule us. So I want to know if it's here in Nigeria that you acquire those qualifications. Thank you.
Well, when I decided to go into politics, I made it a point to go to UNILAG to get my master's in research and public policy, because there's no point going to Oxford or or any of the political schools, Kennedy School, to learn about politics in Nigeria. So I got my master's, MRPP, Master's in Research and Public Policy, from the University of Lagos Political Science Department.
99.3, hello.
Oh, hello.
Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Lukman. I'm calling from the transit.
All right, Lukman, welcome.
Oh, I thank God I still through today. I've been trying to call this while.
All right, go ahead.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only question I want to ask the person in the studio now is, you know, all these politicians, they used to give us all those stories that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. At the end of the day, nothing will be done. When I remember when the present administration, when they came in then, they promised heaven and earth. At the end of the day, nothing was done. Please, I just want, if you just please be straight with us and give us like exactly where it's heading to. There's no point, because we are already wise compared to how it was before. So that's just what they might take into this issue.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
That's very interesting. I think that is a two-way street. I think politicians behave the way they do in Nigeria also because of the significant voter apathy that happens. In Lagos State, you have about 6 million registered voters. Less than 16% come out to vote. And even in all of that, there's a lot of financial inducements as well. So we, the people, also need to play our part. We need to come out. If you are upset that somebody promised to do something and after 4 years, you did not bother to come out to vote and let the person go back into office, of course, they are going to do worse, right? So now, every 4 years, you have an opportunity to change things. You have an opportunity to say, this is what we expect. This is what we feel should be the way forward. These are the people that we feel should be at the helm of our affairs. And you need to take that responsibility very seriously so that the politicians will also sit up, because they know if they do not live up to their promises, they will be evicted. And this is the dynamic that has to happen for our politics and our governance to work.
If you just tuned in, hello to you. Good evening. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra S. Zekwesili, and I have in the studio with me someone who wants to govern Lagos. He has declared his intention to go for the PDP gubernatorial ticket. His name is Gbadegbo Rhodes Viva. And he's talking to us today, answering your questions as well, about why he thinks he's qualified to run Lagos, about why he wants to be governor, about some of the things that plague Lagos, and some of the solutions he may have for those problems. Now, someone called in and raised NSARS and the Lekki toll gate situation, and I want to stay on that a bit.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest topics on the minds of Lagosians at the moment, right? For symbolic reasons with NSARS, for financial reasons, and because of traffic. You've also mentioned the back and forth between Lagosians and LCC and the government. What's your position on the way forward with the toll gates?
I feel that the toll gates should be left open, right? I think that tolling it again is like spitting in the faces of Lagosians. It's bad politics. It's bad politics. It also shows that you have no empathy, especially considering what's the aftermath of the entire process has been. You have a whole new generation that stood up and said they are going to be patriotic, they're going to rise to their responsibility of addressing bad governance. Your response was to switch off the lights, darkness, gunshots, bloodshed, and to deny it and gaslight a whole generation for months. Your response cannot now be just go back to normal. Get used to it again. You know, it's too stifling. And I think that is just bad politics.
Bad politics. All right. I have a few more questions, but I have information to share with Lagos as well before I come back to our guests. So very quickly, yes?
Yes, yes, yes. I have some very good information from Adova Oil, right? So we know how hard it is to maintain our cars, and Adova Oil PLC, that is AP, is rewarding you with free car maintenance. And also, they get to hook you guys up with something called the Shell Helix Shell Helix HX3 20W 2023-50, right? So this is about to change your whole car system. I'm telling you, it's about to put you guys on another level entirely. And Adova Oil wants to make sure that your car is premium, like everything standard, from your engines to your, you know, intricate parts of your car, everything's on point. So you guys need to go right now to the AP store on AP outlet. We have the AP stores all around Lagos, and also you can find the AP stores in the AP filling stations. Go right there and ask for the Shell Helix HX3 and hook you up.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for taking care of our cars. Lagos, we'll take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll hear more from Mr. Rhodes Viber. I want to hear what he thinks about, because I want to stay on the roads a bit more, right? There's also the question of how to manage bus parks. You and I talk all the time here on Hard Facts about the bus parks, about the NURTW, about the Abwe rules. Up until last month, the NURTW managed the bus parks with shall we say, mixed reactions. But right now, the state government says it's taking over direct management of the parks due to the crisis in the union. Now, I'm sure Mr. Rhodes Viber has followed the situation there. When we come back, you'll tell me what your position is. How do you think the government should handle the parks, the transport unions, the mass transit operation within the state? How should all of that be handled? So you just hold that thought when we come back from this very short break. You'll answer that question. And yes, Lagos, keep your questions coming in via Facebook. I prefer Facebook, so please go to Facebook and leave me your questions there. And yes, of course, we'll take your calls after this break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
It's 5:29. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and I have a guest on Road to 2023 today on Hard Facts who says he wants to run Lagos. He wants to be the one the PDP hands the gubernatorial ticket for governor for Lagos. And his name is Gbadebo Rhodes Viber. Thank you so much for still being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Before the break, I was asking you about these roads. I stayed on that subject a bit, and I was asking what your position was as far as you know, who should be running the parks, NURTW, the clash there. You know, up until last month, NURTW managed the parks with mixed reactions. Mm-hmm. Right now, the state government says they've taken over direct management of the parks due to the crisis in the union. You followed that.
Yes.
What's your position? How do you think government should handle the parks, the transport union, the mass transit operations within the state?
Okay, so Business Day did an editorial recently putting the income that's generated from the parks about over north of 130 billion naira. And that is pretty much the IGR of almost three states combined. And the question that comes to mind is, what is this money used for? Where does it go? There is no health insurance scheme for members of the NURTW or their children. There's no scholarship program where their children are going to school for free. You know, there is no situation where you're trying to see a whole generation of young men that have been christened as Agberus have their lives, or the children that they have live an elevated life, even though they generate so much income. Right. And this is the perspective I want to come from. I'm not so concerned about who is doing the collecting. My question is, first of all, these charges are extremely high and it's being passed on to the everyday Lagosian. Mm-hmm. That's one. And two, these funds, what are they being used for? How is it impacting the entirety of the union? And then how can it impact the entirety of Lagos State? Because these are very significant funds. And for me, I think about, like, in my manifesto, what I'm thinking about, what we're putting together is a holistic idea of a Commonwealth of Lagos, right? That these taxes and these funds, transparently, you can account for them. You can see how you're getting a benefit in a deduced or a reduced amount your children pay in school because you're a member of the NURTW. You're plugged into a health insurance program because you're a member of the NURTW. So that these funds are not just going to the MCO Lomas of the world and just the top 5 or top 10 people, because the NURTW has in its ranks so many people, and unfortunately it's just been used as a violent machinery for the ruling party in Lagos, right? So this needs to change, right? We understand that there is a lack of, you know, employment is key here, where people are employed by NURTW and they have something to do. But the point is, what are the real benefits relative to what they are bringing in, and how is Lagos State also benefiting from this, you know, in a transparent way? Because this is about a social contract. The bus driver is taxed. He is also transferring that to the regular user of transportation in Lagos. So there's a social contract. How is this? How are these funds being used, and how are they impacting the generality of the lives of Lagosians?
Speaking of impacting the lives of Lagosians, you mentioned when we started talking traffic, right?
Yeah.
But I want to, you know, stay on that point of traffic for a bit. How do you decongest Lagos roads?
First of all, there's a significant infrastructure deficit, and this also exists because of the handling of projects, where you're building a flyover for 4 or 5 times the price as standard in Africa, even in West Africa, East Africa. The ramp that connects Falomore to Ozumba is times 6 the value that it was built in, that something like that will be built in Kenya or in Ethiopia, right? So we can have so much more projects that successfully, you know, take away traffic from Lagos if it was more accountable, if it was more transparent, if it was done for, if it was managed at a better price. That's the first thing. Second thing is, we need a whole transportation overhaul. The idea of it, Lagos State is so unique because it has a small footprint and has so many people packed in it. So you cannot just do the simple, you copy and paste the bus routes in London and put it in Lagos and say we are going to have, you know, this lane for buses and BRTs. That is good. But we also need almost a revolution, in the sense that we need to reduce number of cars on the road. This is extremely important. We need to be using technology to create and normalize ride sharing, right? So as opposed to taxing and punishing Uber or trying to get them out or increase their taxes, we should be partnering with them to normalize ride sharing. How is it possible that in a certain congested place, right, where there might even be a congestion charge, that people can ride share until they can get to a place where they can now move freely? You know, you have to think about all these spots. You cannot just, oh, we're going to build a road.
And well, Lagos will say that they're already doing that with projects like Lag Ride that they just launched. Lag Ride, one of its offerings is ride share, for instance.
Yes, even with the Uber is ride sharing. But how many people are doing that? So I'm talking about, how do you normalize that? How do you incentivize that as well? Another thing is looking at the uneven development of Lagos. You know, it's too concentrated. Development is too concentrated. We need to open it up in terms of giving incentives to people to go and build in places like Badagry, Ekpe, Ikorodu, places like that. So you are decongesting these places, right? So the traffic is not one way. I mean, you can imagine traffic going now on Third Mainland Bridge, right? So these things need to change. We now have a situation where people are working from home, right? Because of coronavirus and everything, that became normalized. But in the situation that you have in Lagos, how can you incentivize companies to actually allow for that and reduce the traffic on the roads? So I'm talking about a holistic solution to this, aside from alternative transport systems, right? So you look at, we talk about water transportation, and there's been some movement in that direction, but it's still lip service. You know, it's not become normalized. So I'm talking about actually putting in a lot of work, not just in beautifying the jetties, but making it extremely accessible, making it easy for cars to park there, you know, large amount of cars, so these can be normalized and it's safe, it looks good, it's a place where people don't think twice about going to go and use water transportation. And these are things that would start to reduce the amount of cars on the road.
Okay, Lagos, let's take your questions. 0700-993-993-993. Just ask a question or make your comment. You've got 60 seconds to do it so that we can take as many questions as possible. Mr. Rhodes Viber has a pen and a paper, and he's taking those questions down. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. My name is Ayo. I'm calling from Ijanike.
Ayo, you've got 60 seconds.
I'm happy you said he has pen and paper.
Hmm.
The person who has the question has a holistic question about the Lekki toll gate.
Okay.
We don't need him to tell us what people had said, what the party had said, so that in, later on when he becomes a governor, he would deny, like the APC denying that I didn't say so, it was the party that said so. Okay, how would you have responded to the entire issue of the last week? Even from the beginning, would you have asked them to go and shoot them? How would you have reacted from the beginning to the end? Then, how are you going to attend to the issue of Apapa gridlock? Lagos Badagry Express Road, when are you going to bring solution to it? How are you going to attend to the issue of immigrants, unknown faces, that is occupying everywhere in Lagos State? We know them. We know where they are sleeping on the road. They are there. We can't even feel safe anymore. Then if you are Kaduna's governor and what happens in Kaduna happened in Lagos, how are you going to attend to it? Those are my questions.
Lots of questions, able to pack all of that in 1 minute, Mr.
Very impressive. I was part of the NSARS, right? So this is, I mean, my public utterances, my public stand on NSARS and the whole movement is available for the public to see on social media and everything. I feel that if the government handled the entire situation with a lot more empathy, it would not have gone the way that it did, right? It got to a situation where people started to feel challenged by the people. The government started to feel challenged by the people and did not handle it in the way that they ought to have, which is by constantly engaging with them, understanding where they were coming from, addressing to their best ability the issues that have been raised, because they have gotten to a point where they made certain demands. Even if you set out a roadmap of how these demands will be met or how they will be addressed, these things would have started to reduce the tensions, as opposed to how they use the army to go and shoot or attack unarmed peaceful protesters. So in my government, that will never have happened. So I think I've answered that clearly now. Right? Okay. Or is there any other part of that question?
They're going to call back and ask if they need further clarification.
In terms of Badagry Express Road, there have been funds that have been released for that road over a lot of years, over a decade, actually. And these funds have actually been taken. But you don't see, like when they came in, when Somolu came in, the first month, construction materials were starting to be brought down to the Badagry Express Road. But then after about a month or 2 months, you just saw work had slowed down, work is non-existent, and the same problems that are carrying on there. So this has to be addressed. It's a disgrace that an international road is in that kind of dilapidated state. And the worst thing about the Badagry Express Road is just by that road being in that condition, there is so much of Lagos that's not seen. Because Badagry is beautiful. Badagry has beautiful beaches. But because of all you have to go through to just get there, a lot of people don't bother going there. And that is cutting out a significant amount of Lagos, especially on the Lagos West Axis, from actually experiencing and that interchange, right? Commerce, and just a lot of resources that can come into that part of Lagos is pretty much held out because the roads are bad. So these are things that are extremely important, because even when I ran for Senate, Lagos West, that was a major priority for me, because once you start getting into the Badagry division, the roads from Ojo all the way down to Badagry are extremely bad. Extremely, extremely bad.
All right, let's come back to Lagos, 99.3. Hello?
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Good evening. My name is Lillian.
Lillian, go ahead.
Our governor to be, nice hearing you talk all this while.
Okay.
This is my question. I'm concerned about the Agbero. I know you have touched it a bit, but I want to ask, what are you going to do to get rid of the Agbero on the road, harassing drivers, and the Woda issue on the road? What are you going to do to make sure that Lagos is actually what we used to know is? I've been in Lagos for about 30 years now, and gradually Lagos is getting worse by the year. What will lead you to get rid of Agbero on the road?
All right, Lillian, thank you very much for calling.
The Agbero phenomenon we experience in Lagos is a reflection of the government. It's a reflection of what the government appreciates or uses them for, right? If these are the same people that used to snatch ballot boxes and used to go and intimidate voters, violence is what they know, and violence is what they will use. So the approach to that problem is one, like I said, funds that are raised from NRTW should be used for the benefit of the people, down to the foot soldiers. Their lives, there must be an impact, a positive impact on their lives. And then rehabilitation programs, skill acquisition programs, you know. You cannot just spend the entire day just walking up and down collecting money from bus drivers. How can that process also be automated, right? So that these young men can actually be empowered, get new skills that can actually be used in the job market. Because the population we have in Lagos is over 22 million. The unemployment in youth, the youth unemployment rate is over 50%. So you have a lot of young, able people that are not productive. And this needs to change. So the idea is to create a holistic system of empowerment, skill acquisition, create a Lagos that prides itself in producing things as opposed to consuming things. Because that's what we do. Lagos State is pretty much the source of imports, right? As opposed to exports. And this is a reflection on our employment as well. So there must be a holistic means of attacking this. And that's what we're looking at. So for me, I think that once you start to elevate the quality of life of even the foot soldiers in the NERTW, there'll be a new way of doing things. And if, as a governor, you state what is acceptable behavior and what will not be tolerated, they will fall into place. Because at the
It's one thing to state, it's another thing to enforce it. So how will you enforce it? It's one thing to say, I want to elevate the quality of life. How will you do it?
The NERTW is under the government, right? The government plays a significant part in who heads it, in who is in charge of it. You see, for instance, in Ibadan, once Shay Makinde got involved, the NERTW came under different hands, right? So this is the thing. This is how it's going to be done. And if you are not going to stick with this, then there will be issues. And that will find somebody else that will run it the way to match our vision for Lagos. It pretty much is that simple, honestly. Because what is the aim of the NERTW? They must be approved by the government and they want to raise money. And that can only come with the permission of the government. So the government must set the standards. They cannot be allowed to just move and rule as if they're an entity on their own and not subject to the government.
I want to come back to a point you made earlier on when you were talking about ride sharing, right?
Yeah.
People are not at the outskirts because the jobs are not at the outskirts. Mm-hmm. The mass transit arteries are also not at the outskirts. How do you incentivize that?
So, for instance, and this is where water transportation comes into place. You know, you look at places like Badagry, getting to Badagry from Lekki or getting to Ikorodu, you know, that is one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is making sure the roads are done properly so that you want to reduce travel time significantly, right? And these things allow for more movement into these places. And then the train, right? For instance, the Blue Line is supposed to link Badagry all the way to Lagos, right? That has been in the works for over 10 years. Things like that would increase that kind of movement.
Lagos, let's hear more of your questions. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. Yes, what's your name?
Yeah, my name is Benjamin.
Welcome. Go ahead.
I have a question for the young man. I like his dream and his ideas.
Go ahead.
My question for him is, I want to ask him, I want him to be honest. Young, are you married? Do you have children? If you have children, your children now, where are they schooling? Are they in public school or private schools? Your children, do they go to public hospital or private hospitals? That's the two questions. Then I want to say this. We will continue like this. If and only if all our presidents, the vice presidents, the governors, the ministers, the commissioners, the senators, the House of Rep member, if their children, or they do a law that all of them and their children will go to public university.
All right, thanks for calling. Remember, everybody gets 1 minute. Go ahead.
I feel that this question always removes responsibility away from the citizen.
Okay.
A typical citizen does not have a voter's card, does not come out to vote. You then create a politics that's heavily monetized. So you have to be significantly rich or significantly resourceful to get into position.
Hmm.
By default. Gone are the days where an Alhaji Jakonde could be governor of Lagos. Right? You now have a situation where people are looking, do you have the financial capacity to contest?
Hmm.
It's not about your empathy. It's not about your ideas or your vision or your manifesto.
Hmm.
It's about how much, do you have the capacity to buy votes? Now, you almost want a servant leader, but you've created a situation where only a king can lead you. And this is the paradox that we have to address. The citizens must come out and rise to their responsibility of getting involved in politics, in participating, in voting, right? When you ask a question, I do not believe that, I'm married and I have a child. I don't believe that my child has to go to a public hospital for me to have empathy for people that go to public hospitals, right? When I started in politics and I ran for local government chairman, I met so many people, took me out of my comfort zone, met people that I, under normal circumstances, would not have met. And I tell you that at last count, because I keep this, about 78 of them have died. So this is from 2016 till now. Some of them died because there was no air, there was no oxygen in the hospital. Some of them died because there was no light. None of these things are reported. None of these things are recorded or penalties made to the hospitals. None of these things are moderated by an entity that ensures that life matters in Lagos State. None of these things. People just go, people die. There's no value for life. And these are people that, and that's the wonderful thing about politics. You are meeting people and forming attachments and bonds with people from all walks of life. And if you are the person that the people in the party will give a mandate to, it's because they feel that you can represent their interest. So saying that a person must go to a public university or not, it's not, you're distracting from the point. The point is, you as a citizen, you want your hospital, you want your public hospital to work. If somebody in government is not making it work, vote that person out.
Okay, let's talk about voting itself, right? You've mentioned that you ran for local government, you ran for Senate as
Lagos
well.
West.
And when you ran for Senate in 2019, it was unsuccessful.
Yes.
It was an unsuccessful run. Why did you lose? What lessons have you learned that make you better prepared for the larger statewide Guba race?
Okay, so my central district is half of Lagos, 10 local governments. In that central district, about 3 of the local governments were called inconclusive, and those were our strongholds, the PDP strongholds. A lot of people tell you that I won that election. But in the process and manipulation by INEC, because when you vote from the polling unit, it goes to the ward and then goes to local government before it's then collated, finally. There was a lot that happened. And now, with the Electoral Act that has been passed, you have electronic transmission of votes directly from the polling unit to the server. Even the idea now that over voting, you take into account the total number of accredited voters, makes a huge difference when you go to tribunal to fight for your case. So
you already think that if you get the ticket, you will end up at the tribunal?
No, I'm saying either way.
Because you said when?
Either way. Because if they might take you to court.
Okay.
Right? I don't think you'll beat the APC and they'll just sit back and just accept that in good sport.
Okay.
Right? So the idea is, in the event that you do, right, you can build a stronger case now with the Electoral Act that we have on ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the electronic transmission of voting is changing, it's going to change a whole lot.
Okay.
I've participated in an election, in the Ondo election, where we were collating our results off the INEC server.
Okay.
And it changes so much. All the magic that happens at night where you're at the collation center, the switch off generator is darkness, chase people out. You can't do that anymore.
Okay.
Because right from pulling it, they send the results.
Okay.
And then aside from that, I've grown as a politician. I mean, in the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of work within the party to build the party. And I feel more than anything that the state now is ready for a new hand at government. The youth are ready for more inclusivity. You have a state that's yearning for people that are going to lead and lead for their interest and align this interest of Lagos State with the interest of the people.
Okay. I wish we had more time. We don't. But hopefully we will have him back in the studio to answer more questions. I mean, right now he's declared his intention to get the ticket from the PDP. If he is given the ticket, hopefully he'll join us in the studio to answer questions.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Directly from Lagos. You've been listening to Gbadebo Rhodes Viva. He is an architect, a politician, ran for office in 2019, didn't win, but says he's learned enough lessons to run for governor and win come 2023. Well, we'll be keeping in touch with him. We'll be keeping our eyes on his journey. We'll let you know, Lagos, how that goes. Thank you so much for
your
time today.
Me.
All right, Lagos, we'll take a break. When we come back from this break, it'll be time for the news. Once the news is done, we have an entire 45 minutes to talk about the conversation that we've just had right now with Mr. Rhodes Viva. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili everywhere. Don't go away.